Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Brian Peake.
And Brian, who are you, for people who don't know? Because you are not Brian Keller.
I'm not Brian Keller, no. I have more hair, but not by much.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
I'm Coding for Fun guy on Channel 9, and I'm out here on campus this week doing a campus visit, so Dan dragged me into this.
Yes!
Yeah.
Can you sense the excitement? So, let's actually get into it, because, man, we have a ton of developer announcements.
Yes, we do.
So, first one here is the CTP4 of Visual Studio Update 2. So, this is CTP4 Update 2.
So, this is Visual Studio 2012 going to these, I guess, quarterly release cycles for updates. And this is yet another CTP of the second update. So if you haven't installed this, go try it out. It's the first one with a Go Live license. And if you haven't installed Update 1, you should really, really go install that, because there are a lot of fixes and enhancements, especially for Windows Runtime debugging and Windows Store app debugging. There's just a lot of good stuff here. For Update 2, it's mostly centered on ALM and Team Foundation Server, and there's a JavaScript HTML application memory profiler thing that's new.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, it's great that they're doing these so frequently, because you don't have to wait, you know, 8 months to get fixes or new features.
Or till the next product.
Or the next, yeah, very true.
Yeah, yeah, so friend of the show, Chuck Sterling, obviously this is definitely some cool stuff. And there are specific terms around the Go Live, too. So you can use it in production.
Yeah.
Right, so, which is an important point, because people ask, hey, is this something really I should be testing in a VM? Or can we do this, say, on this project?
Yeah, example? And all the updates are cumulative, too. So if you haven't installed one, Update 2 gives you everything.
Sweet. All right. So what else we got? So Office Developer Tools. Now let's show this for the folks at home. This is from Soma's blog, where he does the high-level pitch on Office Developer Tools. So codename Napa is kind of the service, but the idea is within Visual Studio, things we know and love, and even there's C# templates for either Office or SharePoint, that you can build add-ins that enabled you to build all types of applications, and they're going to have a marketplace.
Right.
Right. So the idea is, hey, I have this great way. There's so much data in Excel that has geographic data. I want to just build a really simple mashup tool that'll take whatever you have. You just tell me a column, and it'll give you like a really nice integrated map.
Sure.
We should sell that.
We should sell that. It's a great idea.
Yeah. You want to be able to build that application. You build this, and now you have a marketplace that people can discover your application. Now, to get in that marketplace, you do need an Office 365 developer subscription.
Okay.
And so it has the details there. But the cool thing is, if you are an MCN subscriber, and I think it's like the ultimate and probably the next level down, that do get access to that, you get a free 12-month subscription.
Nice.
On the dev side.
Cool.
So lots of cool stuff for people building Office apps.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to integrate like social media type stuff maybe into Word, edit documents online through Twitter or something. That might be... We should build that and sell that too.
Yes, there you go. So next one is our favorite, Visual Studio Tools for Git Updated.
Yeah, and this kind of fits into the whole ALM thing. There's along with Update 2, CTP4... that we just talked about.
Yes, Update 2, CTP4.
There's another update for the Visual Studio Tools for Git as well, and you need Update 2 in order to run this new version. But this is nice Git integrated into Visual Studio. You can use it with TFS, you can use it with GitHub, you can use it with any Git server. It's not tied directly to Team Foundation Server. As someone who knows very little about Git and still uses SVN because I'm unwilling and unable to learn,
It ain't that hard.
No, I know, it's probably not, but I typing out command lines for source control doesn't seem like fun for me.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would use a client.
I guess, but it seems like there aren't a lot of great clients.
There's a Tortoise Git.
Is there?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I like it. Obviously, I prefer my source control integrated into Visual Studio. I like to see my little check marks on my files to know what's...
But you can get that using Git as the backend. I think so.
All right, well, then maybe someone should teach me and... Okay. Learn all about Git. But anyway,
there we go.
Another update.
Brian
that
Keller just
fixes.
Got a new customer, so
great.
He's
yeah.
for TFS. Hey, so speaking of new announcements, the other big one is Lightswitch. So Lightswitch team has a new HTML client. So the idea there is you can build, these are really data-driven applications,
right.
But you build your data-driven application And the output is HTML JavaScript. So that means it can run on any device, whether it's iOS, whether Android, obviously full browsers as well. So both desktop and mobile, and it does some smart things to adjust what it's actually sending down to the client.
So it knows if it's a mobile device to render in a different way from...
Yeah, exactly. Okay, sure. They have the ability to publish apps to the SharePoint app catalog as well. Some of the other cooler things, too, is... that they're adding reusable controls. So, for example, like, hey, filter and edit control, I want to make this a reusable control. And really, you should check out some of the examples because they have a very modern, like, it looks like a Windows Store app.
Oh, wow, okay.
Like how they do app bars for commands, how they do in-place filters, so you get the nice dialog box. Mm-hmm. Looks like a basically a jQuery dialog, if you will. You type in and say it's been changed and stuff.
Okay.
But the point is, you know, Lightswitch, really, you start with the data-centric and give a really nice view of tabular data.
Yeah, so. That's great. Actually, a friend of mine's doing a user group presentation on this. I need to make sure that he updates.
Cool.
And I can learn about it.
So what's next?
This was the getting started with Lightswitch.
Oh, right. Beth Massey just has the overview of things that you really need to keep in mind. First one is obviously the uninstall preview 2. And then they have basically a walkthrough. Oh, and you do need the VS 2012 update to CTP4. And they do have a walkthrough of kind of like the building your first app.
Okay.
Which is like the one area I'd push people to in terms of from a developer perspective. Hey, how do I get started using Lightswitch? Yeah. So,
all right, cool
stuff. Let's see. Metro App Site, what is this?
Yeah, I thought this was interesting. This is a set of templates that allow you to build not a Windows Store app, but a website that looks like a Windows Store app to promote your Windows Store app.
Oh,
so you get nice,
clever
pretty,
girl.
Exactly. But yeah, just give, you know, it builds on Twitter Bootstrap, so you get, you know, you can bring in your Twitter feeds and other open frameworks to bring in stuff from social networks, and it just gives you a nice, pretty Windows Store style website to advertise your site.
Cool.
And so I as someone who wouldn't want to redesign that whole thing from scratch, I mean,
oh, stop absolutely
that down
not.
And edit a couple index files that you add, you know, your product name, who you are, your contact info, and blam, website.
Yeah, so this is .NET. Templates too, or is this all HTML JavaScript?
It's just all HTML JavaScript to put on a website. Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Cool.
Kind of neat. Just get you up and started quickly.
So next story here is the applied MVVM in Windows Store apps. So this is, you know, the first thing is really a series of videos, and they walk through MVVM. So for folks who aren't familiar with MVVM, the idea is, I want to, rather than have code behind that isn't testable because I have to do really weird things, because by default a code behind, like a button click event, is like comes out as protected. So how do you actually make that testable or reusable, right? So I want to be able to have, say, potentially the same view models. You take all that code behind code and you have another class where your presentation layer, your XAML, is forwarding commands, like the button click command is now actually executing a method on what's called your view model, right? And the view model takes care of all the data. It sends back stuff, does all the data binding wizardry, et cetera. So that's the idea behind MVVM, and I know we've talked about it a lot. But a lot of times people are like, what is it again? So if you say, like, no code behind code and really pushing things into your XAML code, pushing events and data back and
just
forth.
Just like separation and abstraction of everything.
Absolutely. Yep. So for much more detail on this, how this works, navigation, everything else, because there's certainly a number of things that you'll want to learn beyond the 10,000 foot view.
Right.
This is a great video. And our next pick also is actually a walkthrough of advanced MVVM concepts. So the idea here is you can actually go through the Contoso cookbook example, which I know we've talked a lot about before. But the idea is, like, for example, on MVVM, you can do things like have a locator to decide what view model to load.
Okay.
So how do you actually do the dynamic loading of a view model? And you can do a number of things for interception too, so for testability that you want to test, and fakes, a number of different things that developers may want to look at for more okay, I got the sort of basics going.
Right, so this is more applied perhaps?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So next one is easy access to Connect for Windows samples.
Yeah, this is kind of neat.
Yeah, so Ben Lauer from the Connect for Windows team, they've actually put up all their samples up on so obviously their samples were available and as an MSI to download.
Right.
But you had to download a big MSI. The idea here is you can actually access, you know, all the projects, all the samples. You can browse them and all that good stuff, and maybe even send in bug requests. It is a
sure.
CodePlex. Like, hey, it'd be great to be able to do. It is under an Apache license, which is great too.
That's
for
awesome,
for
yeah.
reusing. And they are looking for, you know, that feedback and those discussion tools.
Yeah, I just think it's great just to be able to browse the code quickly on CodePlex.
Yeah.
Instead of having to download and install a giant package. Oh, I just want to learn
I
how to do
I just want this little thing,
and I can just go look at that.
Yes.
That's great.
Cool. Next story here. Interpolation tricks.
Interpolation tricks. Yeah, this is kind of an interesting one. When you're doing animations, mm-hmm. you typically, you know, if you're moving something around the screen, you're bouncing a ball left and right, you don't want to hard stop because it doesn't look natural. It's not how things behave in nature. So you want to use interpolation to perhaps add a little bit of a bounce to it, a little bit of a curve to it, just to smooth out the motion.
Sure.
So as someone who absolutely sucks at math,
sure.
this website tells me how to perform interesting interpolation methods without having to quite understand all the math, even though he explains all the math, but actually gives you little methods. And what's also great is there are JavaScript built into the web page, JavaScript examples of what each one of these interpolations looks like. So on a grid, you can see on the picture there, there's a red,
look at the picture,
a red, blue, and yellow ball, and they move across the grid based on the formula that he's introducing at that time.
Oh, great.
So you actually get a visual representation of that interpolation.
Awesome. Very
so
cool
for
stuff.
For animations, it's very, very helpful.
Yeah, and you know, for things like Windows Store apps, there's the easing functions
right.
that are sort of built in and that do a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for JavaScript, it's great to be able to have this as well.
Yeah,
people want to know, like, even just what are we actually doing here?
Right. I mean, these are visual representations of all those easing things and how they were written.
Yeah.
So if you're writing a game, you don't have your XAML easing. You can just use these.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Exactly. Which brings us to Picks of the Week! Ever so exciting. My Pick of the Week is the Unity Windows Store Beta. So the idea is this is the Unity Engine version 4 that you can now use to build Windows 8 apps. And for Windows 8, Windows RT.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome. And they have a thing to sign up for the beta. But if you're looking to do any sort of game development, Unity is one of the most popular game engines.
Definitely, definitely.
And this is great to see them, one, investing in our platform.
Sure.
Two, making it that much easier for people that already know Unity
right.
to be able to build their apps.
Or those that already
Windows
have
Store.
Unity games to bring those over to Windows
that's,
8.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how quick and easy it is to get them over.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be cool stuff.
Good stuff.
Cool. And what do you got?
I have got the panoramic camera head, which is written by Brian Peek's other friend, to make that joke. But not Giovanni. This is Chris Miller, the guy that I run my local user group with.
Okay.
But he created using an Arduino and a tripod.
Yes.
You can mount a camera on top using a servo, NetDuino. The NetDuino will take the camera and spin it, take a picture, spin it, take a picture, spin it, take a picture. You get a 360-degree view of pictures,
uh-huh.
which you can then download off the SD card and shove up to PhotoSynth.
Okay.
And then you get automatic 360-degree PhotoSynth views of
cool.
whatever you want to take pictures of.
Very cool.
And so
that's what we're looking at here, right?
Yeah, that's a local nature preserve back in New York, but you can actually, you know, it's linked in the article. You can spin that around and view the bridge and the river in that PhotoSynth, but source code and an article is dead. She just got posted up on Coding for Fun today, how to do the wiring for the switch that takes the pictures on the camera, and everything else you need to build your own panoramic camera head.
Very
it's
cool.
Kind of a neat project.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Brian.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you all next time. Thanks.